Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And so good to see all of you guys here on this Wednesday. We've got a very busy show for you. We've got bombshell new video in the Trump assassination. And this is completely goes against what the Secret Service had to say. And they're basically lying. We're going to dive deep into the Secret Service cover up, what the FBI said that was a total lie by omission in front of the Senate. We're also going to look at a new new Secret Service memo that says that President Trump will likely have another attempt on his life by September before the election. So we're going to talk about that in just moments.
Plus, the World Economic Forum does not want you to travel, and now airlines are saying that because of their net zero push, flying and transportation will cost you a lot more. So they're saying the middle class, basically, get rid of your dreams to travel to a Caribbean island or any nice vacation you dream about with your family. Get rid of that because you'll be priced out of the market, and they know it, and they want you to pay for it. Will it help the climate? They don't know that. They just want you to accept higher prices.
Yeah, it's the World Economic Forum's wet dream. Also, stunning new 9/11 footage we're going to look at today has been viewed now over 50 million times. What's the source of this video? Where did it come from? Why are we seeing it right now? And what does it show about the controlled demolition of the towers on 9/11, including Building 7? We're going to deep dive all of that and more on your Wednesday. So good to see all of you guys here. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world on this the last day of July, July 31st, 2024. It's going to be a hot, crazy August. Of course, we have the Democratic National Convention coming up. Joe Rogan yesterday going on task about Kamala Harris and wondering where in the world did like the least popular vice president in American history. Suddenly, now you can't find any negative search results for her. Mm-hmm. Good luck like Googling to find any information negatively about her. You won't find it. Like the DNC, as we reported in the newsletter today, is now making it official. Like she is their...
She's their candidate. She's their girl. Not because of votes. We know that because of a globalist agenda. Because who chose her? Not you. No voters. Only kingmakers, apparently. I myself have been saving things off like a mad person because I know that we will soon not be able to say certain things or find certain things. So do the same, you guys, because they will try to... It is a Big Brother type move straight out of 1984. You never saw that. That never was true.
Right.
These things never happened. We're here.
Jackson, Tennessee is here from Iowa. Chick is from Jackson, Tennessee. Calgary, Alberta. Rockin' RCDN is here from Alberta, Canada. Greetings from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Paul. And from the Netherlands and Rumble. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here. Crack your knuckles and let's go.
Let's go. Let's talk about Pennsylvania. Well, another assassination attempt against President Trump is coming before the election. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of a current Secret Service sniper in a newly released internal memo. We'll get to that part of the story in a second. But first, today we're diving deep into what was clearly a cover-up of the Trump assassination plot by the Secret Service and the FBI. What if I told you that the Secret Service, you know, a once revered institution, was supposed to hold them up in such high regard, tasked with the protection of our nation's highest leaders, is officially entrenched in a cover-up. We're seeing it as clear as day right now. Would that surprise you at all that they're involved in this cover-up? Let us know in the comments. What if I also told you that the FBI, another cornerstone of America's security apparatus, is knowingly spinning a total lie by omission and a narrative that they're trying to put forth to shield the truth, maybe trying to protect the Secret Service in this? Would that surprise you to know that we know, of course, all of this? We know that Director James Comey were directly involved in exonerating Hillary Clinton before they even had completed the investigation into Hillary Clinton and her email server. How do you do that? How do you collude with Democrats to push a fake Steele dossier in order to keep Trump from becoming president? That's a fact. So we know the track record of the FBI. Well, the FBI just lied by omission right to the United States Senate in front of Congress. We'll get to that part in a second. But first, new evidence today that we want to get to has surfaced that shatters this official story about the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. So let's start with the stunning video evidence here. This is the brand new video evidence that Fox News has obtained from an eyewitness that shows Crooks, the shooter, pulling himself up onto the roof, then running across it moments before the gunfire. The footage is absolutely bone-chilling, because it's clear, it's undeniable, and yet local law enforcement and the Secret Service on the scene did nothing about it. There was the shooter's location 150 yards away. Why were the officers who had a clear view of the roof so grossly negligent in this? There's a clear line of sight to the stage where Trump was speaking. The acting Secret Service director had no adequate explanation for this lapse yesterday during testimony. He even quoted him saying, "I cannot defend why that roof was not better secured." Cannot defend why that roof was not better secured. The video shows the shooter in plain sight well before his attack. I mean, look at that. It's ridiculous. This wasn't an intelligence failure. They had eyeballs on him. The Secret Service maintained snipers could not see him on the roofline. I could see him on the roofline. The Secret Service couldn't see him on the roofline?
Maybe they were very engaged in Trump's speech. They just forgot why they were there.
They were looking at his immigration chart up on the screen. They were so enthralled by it.
Wow, that guy's dropping truth bombs.
And just think, their eyes are trained. Like, they are highly trained to see anomalies, like to see things that don't look normal in a crowd.
Right. That's their whole purpose, right? They're supposed to ignore. They're supposed to ignore what the president is talking about, basically. Eagle-eyed, moving around like a lifeguard.
Yeah.
I've seen lifeguards that had better eyes on things than these guys did. This wasn't an intelligence failure. They had eyeballs on this shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, on the rooftop. They saw him. The Secret Service maintains that snipers couldn't see him. They couldn't see him. This is proven false now with this video. The Secret Service is now actively trying to cover this up, hiding information from Congress and the American people. In fact, they just like they deleted all the text messages on January 6th. So convenient that they covered up and hid all of those messages on that day, right? Well, the Secret Service cover up, according to the Judicial Watch, the Secret Service has rejected a Freedom of Information Act request that sought key documents about the whole thing. This isn't just bureaucratic red tape. This is them actively withholding that information from the public and the information the public has a right to know. So here's Judicial Watch. They say the Secret Service rejected their FOIA requests for any records about the assassination attempt on former President Trump. And these were records related to the assassination attempt, and the agency refused to produce any documents. Ronald Rowe, who's the acting director of the Secret Service, was grilled by Senator Mike Lee about why this rooftop sniper location was abandoned and why the Secret Service is lying about Trump requesting additional protection. Listen.
It's my understanding that there was a sniper team assigned to a window with complete overlook, complete view of the roof, the same rooftop, the sloped rooftop where the shots were fired. It's also my understanding, according to some whistleblower accounts, that post was abandoned. What can you tell me about that? Why was it abandoned?
So I saw that from the colonel's testimony, sir, and it's something that I've asked and our mission assurance is getting to the bottom of. And there were two-man counter-sniper teams from the locals that were in that AGR building.
And so at some point they just left?
That I don't have an answer for you on that, Senator, but it seems to me that if even one of them left, there should have been remaining some additional eyes left in that building.
Yep. That seems like something that maybe should be one of the very first questions you address. I'm actually surprised that you don't know that already, and I'd ask that you submit to us in writing what you learn as soon as you learn it. Will you commit to that?
Yes, sir.
What can you tell me about? Well, let me just state this way. Multiple requests were made by Trump's protective detail and by Trump's campaign team to the Secret Service for additional resources. I'm told that those were denied. And as I recall, the Secret Service spokesperson initially denied that such requests were made and denied. Why not tell the truth from the outset? What were they trying to do there?
So, Senator, I don't think there was any intention to mislead.
Seems like a pretty material fact, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'd think so. Rowe testified before the Senate committee yesterday, admitting that local law enforcement officers had spotted the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks on the roof where he eventually opened fire. So they're saying, wait a minute, the local law enforcement spotted the guy. So it's their fault. Wait a minute, I thought you said you couldn't see them. So you didn't see them? What's the real story here? Yet despite this incredible piece of information, there was zero communication with the Secret Service agents on the ground. Zero. They were left in the dark, unaware of the impending threat that the shots rang out. So why are they withholding information as to the communications before, during, and after the attack? Why? You only withhold information if you have something to hide, right? Commander of the Beaver County Emergency Services Unit, Patrick Young, is now refuting statements from the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe. Responding to his messages yesterday, saying who testified before the Senate, Young says his local snipers were never directed to guard the location of the that the Secret Service claims. Listen.
Secret Service, he showed a window that over was maybe there. Right here,
exactly.
Looking out to the roof.
No, that's not where we were assigned. We're assigned over here in those first two windows.
So he's wrong about the assignment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
anybody write that down anywhere?
I mean, it's unbelievable. How did such colossal failures even happen in the first place? Why are they withholding this information that could show us stand down orders and more? Also, a Secret Service agent has come forward in a new memo that's been circulating among Secret Service staff. He says there will be another attempt to kill Trump before the November election. And he says that that could come as early as September. Real Clear Politics got the memo and interviewed the sniper, withholding his name so that he's not gone after by his superior officers. Here's Real Clear Politics. A Secret Service counter-sniper who called for the firing or resignations of all top agency leaders in a scathing email confirmed to colleagues Monday night that he meant to send the missive to every employee on the agency's uniform division. The sniper told his colleagues in two emails Monday night that he no longer could contain his anger after an enduring cover-your-own-ass culture for years at the agency, and after 2 weeks of obfuscation and outright lies by Secret Service leaders in the wake of the July 13th assassination attempt against President Trump that killed firefighter Corey Comfortori and critically injured two others. Meanwhile, well, let's talk about the FBI now. The Secret Service grappled with their internal failings. The FBI was busy crafting a narrative that conveniently fit a political agenda. I mean, I can read it no other way because it's lying by omission, right? The FBI said during the hearing that Crooks harbored far-right extremist views, and he was anti-Semitic, and he was anti-immigrant. Oh, listen.
While the investigation has not determined motive, the investigative team continues to review information from legal returns, including online and social media accounts. Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with the shooter in about the 2019-2020 timeframe. There were over 700 comments posted from this account. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes to espouse political violence and are described as extreme in nature.
So, interestingly, the more recent posts in 2021 unequivocally supported Biden, but he failed to mention that, left that part out. That's lying by omission, right? Here's the kicker. His team knew about this, omitted this in their initial testimony, selectively presented information to Congress to paint Crooks as a far right-wing extremist. And there was, in fact, a lot of evidence in these messages that he was a pro-Biden supporter who praised Biden's lockdowns, and he also praised his open border policies. Okay. So we didn't get to learn that during the testimony. It's kind of curious. The FBI also said they were still reviewing radio communications from that day. Yet earlier, during the Secret Service testimony, they said they had not saved any radio communications. So how are you reviewing radio communications the Secret Service says they don't have access to or they're deleted? A lot of questions from the Secret Service and the FBI and this new vantage point of this new video of this new of the shooter from this new vantage point. In addition to which, Patrick Young and the local law enforcement, who are clearly being thrown under the bus, being, you know, we're led to believe they were in charge of this roof, and that's what the Secret Service is saying. Yet they never had any meetings about the roof. They never had any communications with them, even after they identified the shooter and they saw him walking across the roof. Cover up. I'd like to learn more about this upcoming assassination plot that the Secret Service knows about. And of course, I've maintained on this show, sadly, that they're never going to let President Trump become president of the United States again. And they're going to do everything in their power to keep it from happening. You know, whether you like the guy or not, like that's exactly what's happening right now. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday, if you can believe that. We're going to talk about the stunning 9/11 footage that's just now been uncovered. And we're going to play that for you with and Ted Walter is going to join us to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how the World Economic Forum is very excited, of course, about you not flying anymore. Because this goes to their 15-minute city plans. They want to keep you at home. They don't want you using your carbon footprint to fly. We're going to show you the unbelievable pricing of air traffic that's about to happen in the next couple of months.
Well, the cost of transportation will go up due to green initiatives, and you will pay for it. Will it help climate change? Nobody knows. Nobody's been able to prove that, but they're throwing you different elements and saying, hey, we're going to change things up. It's going to get a heck of a lot more expensive. You're going to pay for it. We can't prove that it's better than anything else we've got for the earth, but hey, let's give it a try because this is a globalist agenda. This is from the Telegraph this week. What they're saying is that middle-income families will be priced out of air travel by 2050, and sorry, that's the way it goes because of net zero initiatives. Did we all decide on that? We did not. Do we know that this is better for the planet? We do not. They're just saying we're going to do this. And here is why. Because of a initiative for sustainable aviation fuel. They're calling it SAV. What they're saying is that because of that, all of these air travel, all these plane ticket prices basically will go up. This week, Virgin announced that it would impose a green levy to cover the cost of SAF, that's what it is, which is currently 2 to 3 times the cost of kerosene. Now, Virgin is saying that they're going to put this new price tag on your plane tickets. Lufthansa already said that they think that prices will go up too. A spokesperson for the German airline said that this would cover part of the steadily rising additional costs of SAF. And they think, basically, this is not market forces at work because nobody is demanding it. The government's demanding it. So the government will have to subsidize it. And again, they're saying that this is going to cost you a lot more. Now, we covered this last September when the CEO of Lufthansa admitted that going green would require the airlines to use up to half of Germany's electricity. So not at all green then. So in order to make the fuel that the government tells them that they must use with no data saying that that fuel is better or worse, they're going to need half of the electricity in Germany, whereas Germans already have rising electricity costs, but we're going to take it all. In fact, he said that we would need around half of Germany's electricity to do this. And he says, from today's point of view, it won't work to even have the availability of the quantities that are demanded us, not to mention the high costs that are, in the end, the passenger will have to bear. So that is, in fact, the case. Now, he said this in response to the Refuel EU initiative, which is a mandate that vehicles in the EU use this SAF and reduce practices that contribute to pollution, they say, with a minimum target of using 70% SAF by 2050. We don't really know, like, what they've done in terms of, like, is this fuel better? Is it good for the engine of the aircraft? Does it prolong or shorten the life of the aircraft itself? Is it safe? We don't have that information. They're just saying, well, it's not a fossil fuel, so it's got to be better. Even though we have showed you what we just had on the screen, this study was a 2017 Princeton study about synthetic gas from China, showed that synthetic gas might burn cheaper inside a house, but it could increase CO2 emissions because it's really hard to make it from recycled materials, because SAF is used from, say, recycled cooking oils or recycled animal fats. And you can't just take all those things and put them into Mr. Fusion like in Back to the Future. No, you need to create brand new. This is not how this is done, you guys. This is an idea of what we thought might happen, but instead we don't have this. We can't just dump stuff in, recycled stuff. In fact, it's highly synthetic and processed, and there are not many plants around the world that do it, and we don't know if it's better yet. It's just, again, not fossil fuel. So forget the fact that we have not even proven that fossil fuel is causing climate change on global warming. Those models have not been agreed upon yet. We're just doing these things to make it more expensive and harder for us. Now, again, market forces are not working this out. Instead, it's just government regulation. And here is what transportation experts have to say, that right now SAF only covers 0.2% of global jet fuel, and they just can't do it without the help of the government. Now, this industry spokesperson said that the switch to cleaner jet fuel will have a big impact on the cost of flying. He says, we know that decarbonization is going to be very expensive and cost trillions, in fact, and this is creating a stalemate in the industry. So, of course, they have to rely on the government. What this means then for the shrinking middle class is that forget your vacation to anywhere that you're dreaming about. Nope. You're going to do a vacation in your backyard with a tent because they do not want you to travel. And it will. So what they're worried about is the domino effect that this has, not just on air travel, but what about the places that rely on tourism, the taxes that that raises for these places like a small Caribbean island? Well, you can't come here, middle class, only wealthy people, certainly not lower class. So how are they going to then work that out as it leads to an economic collapse and a domino effect? Well, again, the government's going to have to get involved. They're saying that this will mean higher prices for passengers and that the middle class, middle income families will just be priced out of the sky. For long haul and premium destination, think the Caribbean or Southeast Asia, just no, you can't go there. You maybe could have with natural market forces now, save for an airline ticket, but you cannot now. So they said they may have to have workarounds such as tax subsidies, government involvement. So you'll pay for it. And what will we get? Will we get cleaner skies? Who the heck knows? They're just doing it because they think that you want it or the governments want to do it or whatever the heck. So let us know what you think of that.
Yeah, they clearly want us in 15-minute cities, right? The biggest carbon footprint, if you wanted to eliminate it, like that would be the thing, even though there's no evidence that that's leading to any kind of global warming, right? Again, as to your point, that's the biggest footprint. So all of the criticism of all these private jets, they fly into Davos, they fly all around to these different locations. If you want to really start and not be a hypocrite, you should stop flying your private jets around.
Right, like see how far they go on sustainable fuels, because are they paying for sustainable fuels? Is Bill Gates putting that in his jet, given that it's only available at a 2.2% of the fuel that's available? So, it's a lot of hypocrisy, but they're saying, you just don't get this. You don't get it. The upper class, they'll sort of pay for the additional price, but we just won't have this population traveling. And the sacrifice is on you. I mean, we have a shrinking middle class as it is. So it harkens back to what Donald Trump said in his acceptance speech at the RNC, is that these parties are saying, we want you to have less. We want you, your ambitions are too high. You shouldn't be thinking that this is the life you should lead. And where he's saying, I want you to have more. So we'll see if he actually means it, because the globalist talking point right now is have less. Someone brought up a great point in the piece we did on Monday on the Paris Olympics that, you know, they're asking the athletes to not eat meat, use green transportation, sleep on these sustainable beds. They're basically torturing them and saying this can be a green Olympics by you having less. And someone in our comment section said that's what they want to put on the rest of us. They're showing us what they have planned for us, which is a less convenient life, which means that the economy shrinks. So this is a clear agenda. It's up to us to decide whether we accept it or not. We don't really have a choice, because the governments are putting this on air travel, and the airlines are saying, okay, we have no choice. We're going to have to do this and pass on the costs to consumers. The only choice we have in the matter is to vote out politicians who talk about this crap.
Yeah.
That's the only way I see it.
Or who align themselves with the World Economic Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, all these people that were like the young World Economic Forum people, like Justin Trudeau and all of these people who, you know, you literally can go to their website and see the people that are approved by the World Economic Forum.
Right.
Throw these people out. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about 9/11 and the unbelievable new footage that's been released over the past few days. It's over 50 million views right now, but it shows some really interesting details that confirm what we already know. This was a controlled demolition of the towers on 9/11. We will show you that footage. We're going to talk to Ted Walter in a moment about that. We're also going to talk about how the state of Massachusetts has gone full-on woke, dropping gender, father, mother, from birth certificates. Because, you know, now we can't have biology in
There'll
our birth
be no fathers, none, on anybody's birth certificates in the state of Massachusetts. So you see how I labeled that? I am not your father. No, you're That's not good. The father. You're the other parent if you have fathered a child. So I thought that was pretty good.
That's good.
I always like a good movie line. So let me know if you get it now that I've explained it. What's the movie? Drop it in the chat. I am not your father.
If people can't figure
get
that
it?
Out.
Okay. Oh, you're ready. Yeah. Did you know Vader means father in German? So anyway, that's yeah. So, okay. So that was, they should have known. Father. It's like fodder.
Father.
But yeah. So they should have known all along. I don't know if they had to wait for the last movie to get that one. Okay. Well, but first we want to tell you about our friends over at The Wellness Company, because as we've just talked about, air travel will be more and more expensive, less accessible. So what does that mean for the goods and services that we rely on to come to us via international travel? Well, that means that our world could get a lot more uncertain in the near future, the not too distant future. That's why you need to think about protecting your family and having in stock things that you might really need. That's why we want to tell you about The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit, because this is a great way for you to think about what you need to have in your house should you not be able to access medicines, things that you absolutely need. We saw that happen with the Tylenol shortage for children, but what about the things you might otherwise need, like a Z-Pack or some amoxicillin or ivermectin or whatever it is? This kit is a lifesaver. Each prescription is accompanied by a medical board approved guidebook, making self-care straightforward and effective. So don't wait until it's too late. You can save $30 at checkout if you go to our link. That's twc.health/redacted. So don't wait. Get your medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company today and be prepared for whatever comes your way. Again, it's just easy to have in stock. So use our code redacted at checkout to get over $30 off. Again, that's twc.health/redacted.
Well, last week, a video surfaced of the attacks on the Twin Towers on 9/11. Twitter users posted this video as if it was brand new, never seen before. It might have been never seen for many of us. Turns out that's not true. This video was not new at all. It was broadcast years ago on television. But why was it buried? And what does it show us? And why has it suddenly surfaced during the same week that President Biden steps down from running for re-election? President Trump is nearly assassinated and gives a speech at the RNC. This news surfaces during that same week. It is curious indeed. Ted Walter, he's the executive director for the International Center for 9/11 Justice. He's dedicated his life to getting answers for the families and the victims of 9/11. He's also the director of Peace, War, and 9/11, which is available on their channel, a documentary you can watch. And Ted joins us now. No better authority on this probably in the world to dissect this video. Now, the video, Ted, has been viewed like 50 million times. And of course, it was put out there as this is brand new video. But can you explain to our audience, is this video new or just resurfaced?
Yeah. So as I was analyzing the video, I discovered that it actually had aired before, at least about 10 seconds or so, showing the collapse of the South Tower, which was the first building to go down on 9/11. So that little segment has aired on Sky News and a Washington, D.C. affiliate of CBS. However, the filmmaker or the videographer, Kei Sugimoto, released about 57 minutes of footage. And so most of that has never been seen before, and it contains a lot of valuable information. And the portion of the South Tower that had been seen before is also now, we have it in a much better quality, so we can actually see a lot more things that we couldn't see before. So it is pretty significant.
Now, we should point out, of course, your position, I think our position here at Redacted, is that this was a controlled demolition of the towers and that these airplanes were not the reason these towers came down. Is that an accurate description of your position on this?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, the evidence overwhelmingly demonstrates that the Twin Towers, as well as World Trade Center Building 7, were brought down by controlled demolition. So, and this video certainly confirms that in numerous ways.
All right, let's talk about it. So let's get into it. So this new video that people have never seen before, a large portion of it, confirms a controlled demolition of the towers on 9/11. Can you go through some of the points here that you'd like to make and we can call out? What caught your eye kind of looking at this new footage?
Yeah, so I think the thing that stood out to most people when they saw this was the flashes that are very visible. Particularly, there's a line of flashes on the lower portion of the building as the top starts to go down. I would also love to draw people's attention to a very bright flash that occurs further up on the building. And this is on the northeast corner of the South Tower. And when you think about it, there's no reason for a flash, a bright flash, if this is just a natural building collapse, to be occurring well above the impact zone or well above where the, you know, where the collapse is actually happening. But we see this bright flash, and we also see structural damage to the corner of the building very close to it. And so naysayers will say, well, those are just, who knows what that is? That's just the sun reflecting off the windows. Well, we know that this is actually something else other than that. We think that it's a demolition charge because you can actually identify the same flash in numerous videos. If you line up the videos and you can do this carefully and line them up. And we actually just published a paper 2 months ago in the Journal of 9/11 Studies that has done this meticulous analysis that shows that this particular flash can be seen in numerous videos. So there's no way that if it's a reflection from the sun off of a window that you're going to see that same flash at that same moment from numerous angles. It can only be seen from one angle. And so we get this bright flash. And so you can look at the video of that. I've provided that video so your viewers can see it. We've kind of pointed out where that flash is. And very close to that flash, kind of where the arrow is pointing, you also see structural damage being done to the corner of the building. Again, if you have the top that's falling and it's a rigid block, right, and the damage that should be done to that portion of the building should be at the bottom. Why is there structural damage being inflicted upon, you know, a part of the building that's, you know, it's 10 or 15 stories higher, right? And so we've, in that paper I mentioned in the Journal of 9/11 Studies by a researcher named Soren Korsgaard, you know, he looks at that damage from a few different angles. Now that we have this video, we can really see that damage even much better. You know, it's basically a hole, a big hole in the corner of the building. So if it's just window light reflecting off of windows, it's not going to cause damage, you know, to that kind of damage to the building. But so we see that severe structural damage associated with the flash and a couple flashes way above the impact zone. So
this can really confirms what you've already seen. I mean, that's powerful, right? I mean, even without this video, you were able to determine that there were charges going off above where we were supposed to have this impact zone.
Yes, yes. So the and I provided a second video for your viewers to see where it's another video where the researcher Soren Korsgaard identified this flash from another angle. And this is filmed by a guy named Anthony Rosario. And I mean, you can see the flash there very brightly. Notice that you can't see it in the... you can't see the damage to the building as well because it's from a different angle. But what that shows you is that this flash actually was a very three-dimensional event. It wasn't just, it was sticking out far from the building, right? So the new footage helps us really confirm, solidify what we knew, and it provides a much better view of the actual damage. And of course, shows the video to tens of millions of people who've now seen it.
For someone who's just learning about this for the first time, wait a minute, there were demolition charges that brought down the towers? There are all sorts of eyewitnesses, firefighters, police officers, eyewitnesses who confirmed explosions and demolition charges going off, did they not?
Absolutely, yeah. So there's upwards of 200 eyewitness accounts of explosions going off during the collapse of the towers. The great majority of them are first responders, such as firefighters or Port Authority police officers, but also, you know, several dozen news reporters. In fact, I co-authored a paper where we identified 36 reporters who basically described the collapse of the buildings as being an explosion or being brought down by explosives or that sort of thing, or seeing, you know, explosions running down the face of the building. So there's overwhelming wealth of eyewitness evidence that explosions were taking place.
And of course, Building 7, which people said, it was collateral damage, basically hit by the falling Twin Towers. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. And that it collapsed with, again, demolition charges, it appears, separate from the Twin Towers. It was not touched by the Twin Towers collapse at all. Am I right?
There was some damage done to the south face of the building, which was the face of Building 7 that was facing the towers. But it was, I won't call it minor damage because that will seem like I'm trying to downplay it. But NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which conducted the official investigation into the collapse of all three buildings, concluded that the damage to the building didn't actually contribute to the collapse. The damage, it was all due to fires, and that even if that damage had not taken place, if the fires had just traveled through the same fires had traveled through the building, they would have brought the building down anyway, allegedly. So all that the debris from the North Tower allegedly did was start these fires. That's even a question if the debris could have started those fires. Many researchers believe that the fires were set intentionally around noon in order to have a cover story for why the building would go down.
And what was in Building 7?
Oh, so good question. There were many government agencies, federal agencies, as well as a city agency inside the building. And we're talking about, you know, the Secret Service, the FBI, the CIA, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which was at the time conducting very important investigations into the WorldCom and Enron scandals. And then you had the Emergency Operations Center for the Office of Emergency Management of New York City that was installed just a couple years before 9/11 on the 23rd floor. And so, you know, it's very suspicious that the Emergency Operations Center was evacuated so quickly on the morning of 9/11. And there's well-known eyewitness accounts of explosions. Two men who tried to go up to the 23rd floor found it deserted, tried to make their way back down, and witnessed explosions when they got to around the 8th floor of the building. And this, the official story tries to say that that was actually just the North Tower collapsing onto the building. But we have when you look at the timeline for their account, there's no way that they would have only made it down to the 8th floor at 10:28 when the North Tower collapsed. It clearly happened much earlier, and they both clearly reported explosions. And we have actual reports of significant structural damage inside of Building 7, elevator cars being ejected from their shafts. So that's not going to be caused by debris hitting the outside of the building. You got an elevator car sitting 40 feet outside of its shaft. That means basically an explosion pushed that elevator car out of the shaft.
Wow. Yeah, it's very convenient, all of the documents and things that were scorched in the collapse of Building 7 in these investigations. Very, very interesting. So I want to go back to the video here before we get you out of here, Ted. So we talked about the flashing. What else stood out to you about this new footage that's emerged?
Yeah, so there's other really interesting things you can see. I think there was a very good view of a squib, or, you know, an expulsion of debris and air that occurred just below the impact zone, really before the towers, the top of the building started to come down. And my friend and colleague, Richard Gage, made that observation, or his team made that observation and put it out on his social media. And so you can see the video of that, which I provided for your audience. And then I found a second video. Once I saw that, I was like, wow, found a second video of that. There's just no reason for a squib to be shooting out of the building, starting to shoot out of the building before the top begins to come down. And really, you had a massive hole in the building, right, where the plane went in. So there's no reason that air would be pushed out of nearby parts of the building if the top starts to come down. The air will just be pushed out the hole. And yet you've got this squib shooting out of the southeast corner of the South Tower, right about as the building starts to go down. So you can see that from a few different angles. I think the other really fascinating thing, and this goes to the sort of the historical significance of this video, and Kei Sugimoto releasing it, is his friends who watched the first tower go down. And then when people that they were with started asking them about it, they all said, oh, we think it went down. It was an explosion. We think, and one of the witnesses said, yeah, I don't think it was the fires. And so I think that's a real, you know, it's another, there are numerous other examples of that. People who were recording the event, but watching it outdoors, who were not that far away, who that's what they perceived as soon as it, as the building came down. And, you know, your viewers can watch a couple of those videos, which I also provided. They're very powerful. And I think it's significant because it shows people, oh yeah, the original interpretation of what happened, the dominant view of most people who actually watched this event, who were close to it, who were eyewitnesses, they interpreted it as an explosion or as some kind of a demolition or the building blowing up. They did not interpret this as a natural building collapse. And I think that's, for people that are coming to this for the first time, it helps to realize that this theory, quote unquote theory, started from the second the buildings came down, and that's what most people who are close by observed. And so it's a natural way to interpret the event that you're seeing. And in fact, the idea that it was a structural failure caused by fires was really introduced afterwards, you know, in the hours after these buildings went down. That's when you start to see the media saying, oh, it looks like it was a structural failure. It looks like the airplanes and the fires caused it. And all the reporters who were on the ground saying that it was an explosion, their accounts were ignored by their colleagues in the studios and so on. So I think that
a lot of those, and a lot of those reporters' footage has been really blocked and hard to find, right? So the official, a lot of these reporters who were there on the ground at the time, one of my colleagues at Fox News standing there on the ground talking about explosions and interviewing eyewitnesses and first responders about explosions that they were hearing. Good luck trying to find those videos today. Thank God for Twitter being able to resurface some of them, but you will not find them on the official news websites of the broadcast networks that initially aired those interviews, right?
Oh yeah, you can't find them anywhere related to the, you know, Fox News or any of the other channels that aired them. You can find them on our website, our YouTube channel. You can find them on the websites of other our colleagues and our community who are still researching this and trying to get to the bottom of what happened that day and get the truth out and hold some people accountable. So it is still out there in certain places that are preserving it.
I mean, at the heart of this is the families, it's the people that lost their lives, and they were sold a bill of goods. They were sold lies, right? That this was brought down by terrorists who hijacked airplanes. And we know that nothing could be further from the truth. And this is, I think, why you've dedicated your life to getting answers for the families. What have you heard from the families, any of the victims' families in the wake of this new footage? And what have they said about this?
You know, I haven't communicated with anybody, any family members specifically about this new footage. I've been in touch with a couple family members for other reasons, other projects that we're working on, including the inquest, the Campbell family, the family of Jeff Campbell trying to open a new inquest in the UK. But not about this footage. I'm sure they've seen it. And, you know, for those families who've been fighting for almost 23 years to get the truth, you know, this the footage for them is nothing new. But I think it helps to see that it'll encourage them that tens of millions of people are seeing this footage for the first time. And that's the dominant discussion. You know, if you were on X or on another platform, it's not just, oh, hey, we found some new video of 9/11, this important event from 20 years ago. It's, oh, there's this new footage. And the dominant discussion is, it looks like a controlled demolition. What are those flashes? You know, so that's really, it is a positive event.
Well, Ted Walter, we appreciate you joining us again. He's the executive director for International Center for 9/11 Justice. You can go to their YouTube channel. Can you name your YouTube channel so people can go check out some of these additional videos if they want to do more of a deep dive?
Yeah, I think if you search IC911 on YouTube, you'll find us, and IC911.org is the website where you can also find a lot of this material.
Ted, great to see you. Thank you so much for the great work as always.
It's great to be with you, Clayton. Thank you for having me back. And thanks for all the work that you do as well.
Of course. Thank you so much, Ted. I appreciate it.
I mean, what?
Well, I mean, you know, I want to be clear, just like Corinne Jean-Pierre, I want to be clear. This video, you know, that we're talking about today, this footage, that's the purpose of me having Ted on, was to talk about this new footage that surfaced, right? So the first, you know, few seconds of it broadcast years ago, but we never saw the other 56 minutes of this footage. So that's what we were focusing on today specifically. I've done whole deep dives on this channel specifically about Building 7. You can search those up here on our channel on Redacted. I've gone deeply into the controlled demolition argument and story to show you all the evidence, eyewitness testimony, as well as, reporters' testimony, individuals who were there, the eyewitnesses, of course, the thermite that was found there, the unscorched passports that were suddenly found, like, on the ground of the hijackers, like, the whole building burns. And here's their passports that are found a few days later, just in the rubble, laying there nicely unscorched. It's pretty amazing. So I've gone over all of that. This today was specifically about this new video that emerged last week, just to be clear about that. So I see a lot of people in the chat saying, yeah, but can you talk about the thermite? Can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? I have. We've done deep dives fully on that here on the channel. So this was just about this new piece of footage, just to be clear.
All right. Well, we've got more news to get to. I really don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know what to do with this information. Today is one of those days where the Israeli attacks on the Middle East, this news right here, like, I don't know what to do.
Well, a Secret Service cover up of a Trump assassination.
Right.
I mean, you have literally, them pushing this narrative that Kamala Harris is black,
unelected person on the, although I think, we've covered the race issue a lot this week, and I think that it's a distraction. I want us to continue to talk about the economy, the border, safety, unity, war, censorship, and foreign wars. But since race is a topic, we will discuss it, but I want to continue to discuss it as a distraction from the actual issues of who needs help, who's hurting, what is our government doing for us, and are they telling us the truth? And clearly they're not. That's why you and I are in business. But
yeah, and we have a subscribe. A subscribe button is free. So if you want to subscribe to our channel, it's very easy to do. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube. We're also stream live every day on Rumble and X. We're working on BitChute next as well to try to bring you additional streaming platforms here. So thank you guys so much for subscribing and being a part of our community here.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about what the state of Massachusetts is doing with birth certificates, because they are removing the words mother and father, and why are they doing this? Why is this necessary? This makes a birth certificate kind of a legal document between interested parties in the child. It's very strange. We want to tell you all about that, but first,
I have to tell you about our friends at ExpressVPN. We would not be able to do this show without ExpressVPN. So what is it? Well, it is a virtual private network, and it is the best in the industry, the fastest, most secure. They have servers in over 105 different countries. And when we are researching information for this show, we have to very often jump on ExpressVPN in order to get access to different news sources from around the world, because so many countries ban good information, trusted sources of news. They want you to watch CNN. They want you to watch really garbage mainstream media. And so we need to use ExpressVPN in order to go around those sensors. And that's what we do. We also use it for protecting our family, for banking purposes, and other things like that. So a VPN is just a virtual private network. It's a secure tunnel between your device and the internet. And when you download ExpressVPN, the app is so stinking easy to use. You can use it on your Mac. You can use it on your PC. You can use it on your iPhone, your Android device. It doesn't matter what device you're using. It is so easy to use. You simply select the country where you want to sign in. You hit go, you hit connect, boom, you're up and running in seconds, and it's so fast. You think, oh, this is going to really slow me down, right? This is really going to keep me from doing my job here because it's so slow. No, it's super fast. Very, very fast to use ExpressVPN. So go right now to expressvpn.com/redacted to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's right. Again, go to expressvpn.com/redacted right here on your screen to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Well, Massachusetts is ready to remove the words mother and father from birth certificates, and instead the form will call the mother the person who gave birth and the father the other parent. So if you have fathered a child, no, you haven't. You have othered a child, I suppose. If you're a woman, you're not the mother. You're just the person. You're the vessel, the vehicle who the baby came out of. This is from a bill that just passed the Senate called the Act to Ensure Legal Parentage Equality. It passed the House in June, so it will become law if Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey does sign it. Now, the bill removes all male words in its entirety. That includes father, paternal, paternity, him, his and man. It also removes the term mother and replaces it with person who gives birth. And then it has all ways to designate people's attachment or rights to a child. It basically makes a child a commodity, like a timeshare. It's almost like a title search for a child. It's pretty wild. We're going to go through these terms so that you learn what they want to introduce to us as a relationship to a newborn child. I don't know how anyone can ever keep this straight, but we're going to look at least to see what they mean for us to mean. So here is the bill. You can read it for yourself, House Bill 4750. And here are all the edits. Specifically about the father for the male pronouns and all of that stuff. No paternity. Instead, they replace it with parentage. No child born out of wedlock. Instead, they call it a non-marital child. The words man and woman are completely taken out in place of persons. And then his is there. Now, I think it's interesting to take a look at the number five there that says child born out of wedlock, because the state has to keep track of this data in order to tell us how certain children fare, whether or not they're born into wedlock or not. They keep this, well, we are told to track this in order to see, do two-parent children do better in certain grades, in certain ways that they thrive? Like, we want the state to know this in order to bring about, you know, social change in a desirable way. But so it seems that they're still going to track it. They just don't use the word wedlock anymore because I guess that hurts feelings, and they call it a non-marital child. Now, here's some of the terms. Let's see if we can collectively figure this out. An acknowledged parent will be on the birth certificate. That's someone who has an established parent-child relationship through voluntary acknowledgement of parentage. So you don't have to be biologically related to the child, but you can somehow acknowledge all parties involved. Notice the baby has no say in this, even though we are talking about rights to a person. It almost makes the baby like a slave. Adjudicated parent is someone who the court has said has a relationship to the child. So the court says, okay, that person's a parent. An alleged genetic parent is someone who alleges to be genetically related to the parent but hasn't been adjudicated. You're like an interested party. Again, if you've ever read a title search of like who has ever had ownership of this house or boat or whatever, doesn't this very much read like a title search to a baby? Assisted reproduction is someone who has been involved in the method of causing pregnancy other than sexual intercourse, so artificial insemination or all of these other surgical or medical procedures, in vitro or what have you. That is how that is defined. Next up is a donor, is someone who provides either the gamete or the embryo. The genetic surrogacy agreement is the agreement involving the surrogates. And the genetic surrogate is the person who is not an intended parent, but provided the body parts to allow parentage. Next up is, these are all things that will be an option on a child's birth certificate, you guys. Gestational surrogacy agreement. I assume that you just staple that or attach it because you're going to need it. It's, again, for the title search of the baby. Gestational surrogate is a person, again, who's not an intended parent, but agrees to become pregnant through these reproductive manners. Intended parent is a person, whether married or unmarried, who manifests an intent to be bound to the child. So let's say you're a same-sex couple and one of you becomes pregnant, then that's the other interested party who has no reproductive input into the child, I would say, but wants to be named as a parent. Non-marital child is a person, again, born to people who are not married. And then parent, of course, is defined in all of these different ways now, not related to biology or the reproductive. And then parentage or parent-child relationship is the next one. A legal relationship between a parent and a child or a person defined as a parent. And then presumed parent is a person who under this section is presumed to be a parent of the child. And then we have surrogacy agreement and surrogate. So again, I have to assume that each birth certificate will have to be amended by these various agreements, legal documents, which give somebody the interested right to the child, accompanied by all of these different rights to, I don't know, sign them in and out of school, make decisions, have custody, and all of that.
We choose like custom backgrounds and designs for these as well? You know, like
a license
if I
plate?
Want, like, yeah, like if I want like Vader or something on mine, can I do all that too? I mean, while we're into making it all custom.
I don't know. But again, you know, like I said, this makes the child a product of legally binding agreements, much like a title search. But a title search is for a house or a boat or a car. Those inanimate objects have no say. This is a person that we're letting all of these interested parties now have a say in the parentage, and it's not up to the baby. Now, there's all kinds of research that shows that a baby attaches to the pheromones of the mother that births it, but the baby has no right to that birthing unit, that cow that has it, right? The baby has no rights here. It's basically a set of adults making a decision for a child as an asset. As, like I said, I can't help but read this like, this makes the baby a commodity.
Well,
right?
it also reminds me of 1984, right? This is a very Orwellian Big Brother way, because he writes about the removal of the husband, the parent, the male, the female figure, right?
It is a dismantling of a family. Now, there are certain circumstances, obviously, I can see where, you know, this might be useful to, say, a lesbian couple or something like that. But we are playing to a minority here and removing the rights of the majority. So, you know, if you father a child, it is no longer your right to be called a father on this legal document. When a woman gives birth, which is our defining biological function, we no longer have the right to be called a birthing mother or even a woman. When men cannot have babies, full stop.
I read a piece by the Federalist had a great point about this, which is it's worse than just the name dropping, right? It's really about the commodification of the child. And
yes,
it's kind of what you're talking about here. And it's, in many ways, it's going back to the 1800s, like the buying and selling of humans.
Yes.
The buying and selling of people as commodities, like slaves in a way, right?
Well,
take the slave piece out of it, but it's... Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It reminds me of Fahrenheit 451, where like in an attempt to offend nobody and like remove anything offensive, they've just turned it into absolute garbage. Like I think that's what they're trying to do. It's like, we got to make sure this is all inclusive. We can't offend a single person. So let's just make it garbage.
Yeah,
can't use real words anymore.
Yeah, and there are ways that a lesbian couple can share custody of a child that is outside of the birth certificate. So we're mucking up this legal document of a baby, you know, for these rights that can otherwise be established. And making sort of this gobbledygook of a document where, you know, I think most people look at their birth certificate and think like, oh, you know, look, there's my, I do. Like, look at my mom's signature when she was 22. That's pretty cool. That kind of thing, you know. And so now it's just, again, this long title search of who has interest in this baby. And you think about if somebody, say, gets pregnant and a father wants his rights to this baby, and they have to then sort of bid for it or sue for it for their name. You're right. It makes sense to nobody. And who is advocating for this? Well, an Axios article from last year talked about how the LGBTQ+ communities were, in fact, advocating for this. And so they're the ones who are pushing this agenda. So it's the minority rights trumping the majority rights. For what purpose? So, you know, the state of Massachusetts thinks that this is an awesome thing to do. The governor, there's no reason to think she won't sign it into law unless there is some kind of backlash now that it has seemed to receive a lot of press. So we'll see if it happens. But let us know what you think of this and you know, how this commodifies birth and breaks down the idea of a family and takes away the rights of a woman to be called a mother. Let us know what you think. To me, it's a little bonkers.
It frustrates me because it's like when they cater, they do these things, they have to cater to the weakest among us because these people can't take anything that doesn't go with their worldview. So it's like everything is just getting dumbed down to like the weakest among us. And it's,
well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say like lesbians are the weakest, you know, it would give them some rights. But like I said, they could all the otherwise establish those rights. But why make a birth certificate a commodification of a child and break down what should be our strongest unit, which is the family? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Anybody? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we're not calling like gay people weak. That's not necessarily
I'm just saying it's not the lesbians and gay people that are asking for this, and they're not doing it for them. They're doing it for the people that can't handle, you know, not having all these options on there for whatever it is they want to, like babies or whatever. That's what I meant by that.
Okay, understood. Yeah. All right, well, let us know what you think about this, because if you are about to give birth in Massachusetts, this will be the laundry list of things you'll have to check, is who is the donor, do you have a surrogacy agreement, is there an adjudicated parent, and whatnot. And, you know, the adjudicated parent right now by default is usually the married couple. When you're married, you have a baby, you have equal rights to the baby. So will they then remove they've removed the father, but then...
Oh, they don't want you to be married either.
But you have to think, so let's say you and I lived in Massachusetts, we had a new baby, these are the laws, and you would think, well, I have rights to this baby, but how long before they say that your marriage does not give you rights to this baby? You have to fight for the rights to every baby. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And so then anybody can bid on the rights to a child, and I can say, well, he's my husband, and they'll say, well, he needs to go through a court process or a legal document to prove he has rights to the baby.
He needs to go through a woke training course.
But then, so I'm playing this out because it's not too crazy. So they'll say, okay, me, I had the baby. We all saw the baby come out of Natalie. She has rights to it. We don't know if that is, you know, Clayton's baby. So we'll see. He has to go through the legal process. But then the next step to that is, does Natalie, who we saw the baby come out of, have rights to said baby? Or do I have to be an adjudicated parent, even though we all saw it? Baby came out of me. It happened, right? Do I have rights then to my baby that we've all seen happen? Well, clearly not, because we don't know if Natalie was a surrogate or not. Natalie has to prove that baby was put inside of me by, I know that's gross to say it that way, but you know what I'm saying? We don't know. Yeah.
I was going to say, what if there are witnesses to
get me pregnant a lot?
To that insert.
Right. Like, what if they're, yeah. So this is what scares me the most. Right. Is that you don't know. Natalie, is that your biological baby or was that a surrogate? Is there a bidding process by which anybody else can say, actually, I paid her to be my surrogate, so she doesn't have rights to her baby? This is all possible now based on this document, I would think. Now, I'm not a legal expert. I'm not a family document expert. But again, this is breaking down the default rights that I have to the child as the birthing mother. So it scares me. So anyway, we don't need to talk about me getting impregnated any longer.
No, we don't.
No more of that.
We don't.
We're done with that.
Yes, we are. We have three kids. We're good on that front.
We did that plenty?
We did that plenty.
Okay, let's move on.
We hit a home run on that one. Really knocked it out of the
park
on that one.
Stop congratulating yourself.
Yeah. Hey, that's my only job. That's the whole reason I was put on this earth. That's it. For men, that's it. That's the whole reason. We're to provide for your family and procreate. That's it. Procreate first and then provide for your family. That's it.
Then what are we doing a show for?
Let's just go.
Okay.
Well, because I got to provide for my family.
Right. That's part of that.
And
yeah, there you go.
Hopefully entertain and educate people about the world. We are not corporate backed people. We don't take money from billionaires. We don't take money from Rupert Murdoch or Elon Musk or any Pfizer or any of those guys. So we are supported by you guys. Thank you guys so much. And the few sponsors that we have here on the show. Earlier in today's show, we had a total outage. I don't know what the hell happened, but everything collapsed. Mercury retrograde, everything collapsed. And we came back up with a lot of technical problems. So I want to tell you, I want to fix this and tell you, because I don't think we did it justice before. I want to tell you about our friends that are helping us right now. Our friends over from Clint Winters, who actually created this, a pain relief medication that is not medicine at all. It's actually the future of pain relief, and it's Canolidine. So whatever you do, make sure you click on the link on our screen if you want to try this. If you suffer from pain, okay, and you do not want to have any sort of addictions to drugs or anything like that, you can try Canolidine. It's the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers called endorphins at any age, and when taken, your body will actually fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in no time. Let me tell you, a lot of people were skeptical about this. I've heard from our viewers who've got it. They say it absolutely works. And it's, trust me, if you don't want to have, we see what's going on with the opioid crisis right now across the United States. That's where Clint Winters comes in, okay? Because it's a natural pain reliever. I'm talking about 100% natural, drug-free to get full-body pain relief without dangerous pills. So right now, the best part, you click on the link on our screen, try it for one less than $1 per day. Canolidine is the, you can try it for less than $1 per day, 100% drug-free. And Clint has provided this link. Check it out right now. Go to trycano.com/redacted. No documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. You won't wake up feeling groggy, any of that stuff. So try it right now by going to trycano.com/redacted. Earlier, we didn't have the video up there, so I wanted to do it justice for those guys who support independent media.
I wanted to point something out real quick that you said earlier about us not getting paid by billionaires, but like, think about it. We're just like a mom and pop show, right? And we pay for, to do all this ourselves. However, a billion-dollar corporation like Google, it calls us dangerous. YouTube tries to take us down. So we're like a small company fighting billionaires just to get this information out. And that's just kind of crazy to think of.
Yeah. I mean, like yesterday, we did a whole story on Venezuela. Of course, the narrative from the deep state, and even Elon Musk was pushing the narrative that that lawless gangs were taking to the street to over, you know, that want the, because the election was faulty. We had to set the record straight on that and call out Elon Musk on it for lying. And so, yeah, I mean, again, we are constantly up against this machine. We are constantly up against these billionaires, as you can see by the stories we've been covering with Kamala Harris right now. You know, President Trump just spoke to NAJB just a few minutes ago and did a whole interview and basically said, you know, I didn't know, you know, Kamala was black. When did that happen? Like, now she's suddenly black. And so, but any story you look up about Kamala Harris on Google right now is being suppressed, any negative story. And so we're up against this big tech censorship machine right now. And so thank you guys for subscribing and being a part of our community here, because we have no agenda. If we find out tomorrow that Kamala is in fact African American, we will report that.
Okay.
But her birth certificate just surfaced and Laura Loomer just posted it, and doesn't look like that's the case. But hey, if suddenly that changes, we will report it. Again, we will follow the facts we will report it.
She can identify as whatever she wants, man. So
that's sure. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start identifying as a black man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, I think that every time we cover this race issue, we should talk about who are the groups that are being represented with this destruction of race. So that's the way that we tried to talk about it. We talked about the white ladies for Kamala and the white men for Kamala. Who are they speaking for? What are they assuming about these groups? And what do those groups actually need? Not like, do you represent black people or something? Because we don't think like that. We don't think anybody or any one type of thought should represent any skin color. So we're going to keep at it from that and stick with the issues as this election heats up. We want to talk about, again, the economy, the border, foreign wars, censorship, those kind of things. So we're going to stick with that.
Can I just correct you, though? You called us white men for Kamala. We are white dudes. Okay. Don't call us white men. We are dudes.
Okay. So, all right.
The dude abides.
Did we ever figure out? Because there was a huge Zoom call today. It was black men or black.
It was black people against Kamala, blacks against Harris. So I don't know. I'll watch that. But I don't like groups speaking for each other as, you know, monolithic type of thought. But I do want to hear what people have to say. So we're going to stay open-minded here on Redacted. That's what we do. So we will see you here tomorrow. We'll take a look at that and more. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.